Farm Country 102.3 WRMJ Studios, powered by Electric Doctor. Repairs done right. Visit electricdoctor.com. Your hometown station is WRMJ Aledo. Farm Country 102.3.
This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
This is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started way back in 1979. We're at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios downtown Aledo. I'm Jim Taylor. Ty Taylor is alongside. I want to go big-time radio voice, Ty, right off the bat. I want to do a live read with our good friend Dale Jones.
I'd do anything for Dale Jones on this
Dale
program.
Dale Jones auction. Has he ever said, is he going to go to the state tournament next year?
I haven't
year?
Seen yes, him. Okay, every time he comes in here, I miss him.
I want to know if he's going to go to the state basketball
Hopefully
tournament
we see
next
him there,
year.
Yeah.
All right, mark your calendars for Wednesday, May 21st, when Dale Jones with Merit Auctions will hold a real estate and personal property auction for Doyle and Annette Spear. The real estate will sell first at 1 p.m. at a virtual online auction. This is a nicely laid out three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath ranch home built in 1998. The home is in a fantastic Aledo location on a double lot across from the street from Mercer County's Apollo Elementary School. The full, mostly finished basement nearly doubles the living area of the great home with many updates throughout. Arrange a private showing by calling Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. At 2 p.m., the personal property will be sold in a timed online auction. This is a small but nice offering of modern furniture, household items, and collectibles. Visit meritauctions.com to view complete auction listings or for online bidding and early registration. Don't miss this virtual online residential real estate auction and timed online personal property auction for Doyle and Annette Spear on Wednesday, May 21st. Doyle and Annette Spear, also great friends and great listeners of WRMJ as we broadcast from the Dale Jones Auctioneer
there's
Studios.
There's no question, if you ever need an auctioneer, you need to go through Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you ever need tennis shoes, get them at 6140 Run. If you need agricultural service, use Diamond Ag with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. And then if you need any sort of insurance or financial type stuff, country financial agents, Jason Potter, Tracy Bigham, and Brent Bigham. Those are the fine sponsors of this great Sportsline program. So do business with them.
All right, but I want to back up too, though. If you want to talk 1980s Cardinals baseball, you can talk to Dale Jones too, because he ran the board here at WRMJ for the heyday of the Cardinal Radio Network with Jack Buck and Mike Shannon. We have a great guest coming up a bit later in the program. So awesome, man. Cade Sharp. Who doesn't love Cade Sharp? Grew up here in Aledo. Of course, brother Connor Sharp. Mom and Dad, Tom and Stacy Sharp. Also, brother Austin Sharp, of course. So, Cade now coaching at Amboy in the NUIC. A 2020 Mercer County High School grad, a Monmouth College grad, a baseball player at Monmouth College. So I think a really fun conversation with Cade coming up, kind of a walk down memory lane for people who love youth baseball and you know, just town ball baseball and what kind of the Sharp family has meant to that. It'll be a fun conversation coming up with Kate. And I can't believe he's old enough to be a teacher and a coach.
Everybody listening is going to stick around to hear Cade Sharp, that's for sure. Cade's one of my best friends in this whole world, so it was a lot of fun talking with him. That conversation coming up a little bit later, so stick around for that, everybody.
All right, so personal note, today my oldest daughter is getting married today, Tess Taylor, and this is kind of a sports line theme today because I was thinking about the kids that were in the kids that are in the wedding party, yep, and the individuals that I've broadcast their games. I'm going to start with the bride, Tess Taylor, a Mercer County Golden Eagle, the groom, Zach Anderson, a very good baseball player at Sherrard. All right, the rest of the kids that I believe are in the West wedding party that I broadcast, Josie Finch, yeah, also the best Mercer, best county fair queen I ever did know, Emma Skravonsky, of course, maiden name Coulter, Ashley, I forget her married
Haskins
name. Okay.
And Anderson, all-state softball player for the
right
Tigers.
So I broadcast her for the Sherrard Tigers back in the day. A kid by the name of Tegan Taylor, who's a freshman. Tatum Taylor was a cheerleader, so I'm going to say, and she was a JV player for Sean Strahan for the Mercer County Golden Eagles back in the day. She's in the wedding party. Mentioned Zach Anderson. Brandon Skravonsky in the wedding party, the smoothest shortstop you'll ever see for the Mercer County Golden Eagles. Anthony Ruggles, great multi-sport athlete. Connor Jenkins, multi-sport athlete. And then Hayden Bennett, a Tri-County Red Devil and a former Sherrard Tiger. So
you forgot, no, I think you got everybody. Got everybody.
So I hope I didn't forget anybody. But I that means a lot to me in terms of the wedding party and all these kids that have graced the airwaves. And
you forgot me.
Oh, that's right. Ty Taylor, multi-sport athlete for the Mercer County Gold.
That's who you
Eagle.
Forgot.
Say something nice about your sister, right?
Way to go, Tess. I'm excited for the day later today. It's amazing we're doing sports line still on the day of your daughter and my sister's wedding. But hey, no one else is going to do it. So no, I'm kidding. We're happy to be here. And we're looking forward, of course, to celebrating Tess and Zach's marriage later today. Also, that was the big topic of conversation this week at the two softball games we broadcast between Sherrard and Mercer County, because Sherrard softball coach Josh Starkweather is great friends with both Zach and his dad. And he was invited to the wedding, can't make it because Sherrard's playing Hall and softball today. Oh, okay. So he can't make it, but he wanted to send his well wishes to both Tess and Zach. So thank you, Coach Starkweather. We were talking about the wedding coming up. He told me to have fun. I'm like, I wish you were going to be there, but it's okay, man.
So among the tables I want to visit tonight will be the John Hoshite, Glenn Cook table.
Yep.
And then we'll talk about Tom and Stacy Sharp in this interview with Cade Sharp. And then Rita Frazier from RFD Radio will be at that table, too. So that's the table I want to converse with.
Isn't DeLoss going to be there?
He can't make it because he's got an FFA event. So, no, he won't be there. But, again, a lot of the relationships that I have and, of course, your mother have are connected to interscholastic athletics in this area. I think Coach Engwall will be there tonight.
So Pat Lower.
Pat Lower. So there'll be all kinds of those great conversations, but a great group of kids that are in the wedding party, including Ty. And, you know, like today our guest coming up, Kate Sharp, you know, like I say, who doesn't love Kate Sharp? But anyway.
Now everybody does. Nobody cares about our personal lives, so I'm sure everybody's turned away.
Like
the greatest thing about Kate Sharp is everybody likes him enough that he allowed us basically to use him being on the show to talk about our personal lives for about 5 minutes, and everyone had to sit through and stomach that.
Well,
so,
okay.
By the way, my sister is getting married today. All right, let's move on.
No, anyway. So one of the great references, sometimes this is like old school WMJ, where John Hoshite sometimes will get mad when we did Tradio back in the day, and one of my great friends who came to your mother and our wedding, B. Daniels, great personality from back in the day. Her sister Cindy would always call on Tradio, and sometimes John would get a little perturbed about that and say, "Hey, your sister can't call on Tradio all the time." And then people are Tab Ballmer's listening right now. He's like, "Man, you need to bring back Tradio."
You can't say Tradio. I thought that was trademarked by some other station, like we'll in Tennessee.
Sued. We'll get sued. All right, so man, you look at softball this week. We had some, ranked matchups, I know.
Three of them.
Yeah, West Central and Rock Ridge earlier in the week. You had Mercer County and Mercer County and Sherrard Thursday and Rock Ridge and West Central Wednesday. And then I forget, we've had so many great games. What was the early week game?
Sherrard Mercer County Monday as well. Yeah.
So what are your observations from what you have seen? And it looks like that the Rockets that loss early in the year kind of did them good. And you probably thought that was going to happen.
I said on our broadcast on Wednesday, they beat West Central 6-4. And I said, I think the worst thing for every school around here was that Rock Ridge lost two games in a row, because since then they have been rolling and have looked really impressive. They lost the game to Ottawa, who's a really good ranked 3A team, didn't play very well, lost to Mercer County. And then since then, you know, they avenged that loss to Mercer County 8-2, and just rolled through Monmouth Roseville twice earlier this week and beat a really good West Central team 6-4 at home. So they've now won 5 in a row and are a game back in the Track West softball standings. Rock Ridge threw their first 5 conference games. We're halfway through the conference season. They're 4-1. They're one game behind Riverdale, 5-0. We'll talk about this maybe a little bit more coming up in a moment, but Rock Ridge this coming week in softball plays Riverdale twice and Sherrard once. So it's a big week for the conference race in softball this week. And for Sherrard, you know, they're off to a 2-2 start in league play. They lost on a walk-off to Rock Ridge and then lost by 2 runs to Riverdale in a game they were leading in the 7th inning. Their end of their conference season is a really soft landing. Their final 2 weeks, they play Orion and Monmouth Roseville. So those are 4 games they should win without much issue, I think. They've got a makeup with Rock Ridge this week. They've got a makeup still to come with Riverdale. Although they're kind of in the weeds right now behind, they are going to, I think, factor into the conference championship race down the line. But we said 3 huge games with Rock Ridge and Riverdale playing twice, and then Rock Ridge and Sherrard this week in softball. Also this week, we had Sherrard and Mercer County on twice. The Golden Eagles were kind of riding high coming into that. They were 2-0 in the conference coming into the games with the Tigers. And we're swept 5-4 at Sherrard Monday and then 11-6 at Mercer County on Thursday. My favorite stat about Sherrard this week, they batted 13 innings against Mercer County and struck out only 2 times. Wow. And they average right around just 3 strikeouts per game as a team. They have a ton of kids that just put the ball in play. And it's not like they're just weak contact hitters. They have 9 kids that hit the ball hard when they come to the plate. And even scoring, you know what, 16 runs across 2 games, they hit into a lot of loud outs still too, where I thought potentially they could have scored even more runs. They left quite a few runners on base too. I'm just so impressed with their lineup. So I really liked what I saw out of Sherrard this week on the softball diamond. And on the flip side for Mercer County, we've talked about the strength of the track and how different that has been for them in every sport throughout the school year, where you get off to this great start, 12-0 and 2-0 in the league, and all of a sudden, you know, now you blink and you've lost 3 in a row in the conference, once to Rock Ridge, 2 to Sherrard, and you know, you still have 2 more games with Riverdale coming up in a couple of weeks. So it's a grind in the track, that's for sure. And it just was another fun week covering softball in the league, a lot of high level games. Mercer County though, again, you know, errors killed them again this week. They had a really costly error that led to Sherrard scoring 3 runs with 2 outs on Monday. Took it from 2-2 to 5-2, ended up losing 5-4, and then 4 more errors Thursday. And you just can't give teams of that caliber, like Sherrard, like Rock Ridge, like Riverdale, extra outs. More often than not, I say 9 times out of 10, you lose, and the one time they've won has already happened. So got to clean it up defensively if you want to compete in this conference and if you want to try to advance very far in the postseason, because making 3, 4, 5 errors per game, not going to beat the Rockets, not going to beat the Tigers, not going to beat Riverdale.
So I like the call from Thursday night, the Anderson kid who hit the Nadia, who hit the Moo, as her mom calls her, hit the
Moo.
Grand Slam.
I'm a big fan of Moo.
And you said, I'm like, man, you said that ball's going to land in the Apollo playground. I'm like, man, she creamed thing.
Well, her and then Mackenzie Moran hit 2 homers, and they were all no doubt off the bat. Like, outfielders didn't even move, and the pitcher just like, put the glove up and ask for the next ball from the umpire. Yeah, the ball that Nadia hit, though, I mean, she hit it to right center as a right-hand hitter, and it was just, and, you know, like, she came up to the plate with the bases loaded, nobody out, and it's like, you just know that's trouble. and you had to bring pitches over the plate to her, and she just absolutely clobbered that. And then the Moran girl is such a great hitter for Sherrard out of the leadoff spot. She hasn't struck out all season.
Amazing.
And she hits it hard. And it feels like...
So how many at-bats then?
Yeah, a lot. I think it's like around 60 now for her.
Man.
Yeah. I know the one home run she hit was a 2-2 pitch on Thursday that was just destroyed to left center.
And then have you heard the possibility for Nadia Anderson? Where's she going to wind up at collegially? Because, man, what a talented...
She's a great player, athlete. Man. Yeah. She is one heck of a player.
And the seeding then, how soon does the seeding come up in baseball and softball?
It's like May 5th, I think,
so
at least
got
maybe.
A while, then.
Next couple
week?
Weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where do you have it at right now? When you look at the subsectional for softball, Rockridge
1, Riverdale 2, Sherrard 3. But that could switch if Sherrard is splits with Rockridge.
And then
or if
be
they
Brimfield
beat Riverdale
Elwood or Mercer
Brimfield
County
4 or 5. Brimfield or Mirko at 4 or 5. And then the rest is teams that I don't think will compete with the top 5. I do think now Mercer County and Brimfield play, but it's after the seeding. Brimfield beat them 10-0 in the regional last year, and neither team, well, Brimfield didn't graduate hardly anybody because their pitcher was a sophomore last year. So I would maybe, depending on how the rest of this pre-seeding goes, although I think Mercer kind of plays Riverdale after the seeding, and their week this coming week is a bunch of teams that aren't very good. So they won't be able to do that much help to their seeding this week, Mercer County. Right now, I think it's hard because that Mercer County win over Rockridge, I think, has to give them an edge right now. I would put Mercer County 4, Brimfield 5, because if they beat Rockridge once.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about baseball then. Yeah. And I know pretty good crowd Thursday at Northside as they had the strikeout cancer night, and Sherrard able to pitch a shutout. And it looks like I think an 8-0 game, and then the Tigers swept that series, a little more competitive game, I know, early in the week. But it looks like, again, they're the team to beat on that side of the conference right now.
They beat Mercer County 8-0 Thursday, like you said, also 9-8, in kind of a wild game that Mercer County tried to put a rally together in the seventh inning back on Monday. Tigers alone in first place in baseball in the Track West. They currently sit at 4-0. A game ahead of Riverdale, who is 4-1. Well, I should say a game ahead in the loss column of Riverdale, who is 4-1 in the conference. Sherrard and Riverdale have to play a makeup game in a few weeks when one of their games is rained out. It's interesting because, like Sherrard, the 8-0 game wasn't the game that Aiden Taranis, yeah, but she pitched the game that was 9-8. But Brady Peterson threw a complete game shutout for the Tigers on Thursday, just 4 hits, struck out 8 over 7 innings. And Sherrard, you know, I don't think they're as deep as they have been the past, you know, 2 years, especially offensively. But when you have a pitcher like Aiden Taranis, and you talk about this all the time with baseball, you know, if you can, every time he pitches, it feels like you'll probably win. And the Peterson kid has done a good job for them. I know the younger Mattson, he's a sophomore that is kind of progressing into a starting pitching spot for them. You know, if you can get enough out of those two, because you feel confident enough with Aiden when you get to the postseason that, you know, it comes down to what can you get out of your number two pitcher. And they're going to be stuck with the same decision, and it's hard, and I can go either way. Do you pitch him in the first game talking about Aiden, or do you try to save him for the championship? Because last year, Sherrard did not pitch him in the regional semifinal and got upset by Monmouth-Roseville. I don't blame Coach Basal for that, because it is such a tough is 100%. A really hard decision.
And I would save him for the regional championship.
Yeah, I agree too.
But it's easy to sit here and say that. But it's a tough.
So that, because they'll probably be, you know, the one or two seed in the subsectional, I would think. So again, they won't have to play the quarterfinal game. So the decision that they'll have to make is, do we pitch Aiden Taranis in the regional semifinal, or do we hope we have enough to get through and have him for the championship? That's the big question. And then, of course, though, with the success of the Sherrard baseball program is that it's not just about the regional for them. It's about beyond, too, hopefully. So, you know, because you factor that in, well, if we can win with him Wednesday and then we win the championship, whatever, then we can bring him back to pitch him in the semifinal round of the sectional. So it is a hard decision to make, that's for sure. And luckily for everybody, it's a couple of weeks away that the Tigers have to worry about that.
That's why baseball is always a fun postseason to follow because you have the pitch count limitations, too, that impact things. And I remember the 1 year when Mercer County played and the kid from El Paso Gridley, Michael Lavender, who was a D1 prospect, and they were managing pitch count and they decided to take him out because they wanted to see if they could bring him back. And then what happened? Well, Mercer County ended up winning the game. So it's those type of situations, like you said, what do you do? Do you pitch the ace right off the bat?
It's a hard decision.
You're the favorite. But that's why you see those crooked number teams that are able to advance with crooked numbers in the loss column because the Mother Nature aligns the right way for them.
And that's why I think the high school baseball postseason is so compelling because it just is such random from day to day, like you said, depending on who is pitching for what team. Teams can look completely different from one day to the next depending on, you know, who takes the ball for them. So that's interesting coming up. Also want to mention the Rock Ridge baseball program. They started 0-2 in the conference, have won 3 in a row, swept Monmouth-Roseville this week, split with Mercer County last week. So they are a team that I know had kind of high expectations coming in with their top-end pitching, starting to round into form, now up over 500 on the season at 9-8 and 3-2 in the conference. And they're a team that they still get to play Sherrard one more time. So I don't think they're completely out of the mix of trying to battle for a conference title either. And they, of course, won a regional last year after, you know, kind of a mediocre, lackluster regular season. And they're a team, when you get to the postseason, that they can put it together with their – they have three high-level pitchers at the top of their rotation. And that, I think, always gives you a chance to go on a run in the postseason.
Oh, 100%. That's why, to me, they look to be like
– yeah, they're a scary team in the regional.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
Where you go, those three kids. Now, here's the other story that I think has been interesting in the spring. Now, I think track starts to heat up here. Well, we have some invites, and then next week, and we're a couple weeks away already from the sectional. But we need to cover this a little bit more, and we've talked about it here internally in the office. The Orion Sherrard girls soccer team.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a soccer expert. I don't profess to be one. But they're having an unbelievable year. So one loss and how many wins?
Yeah, there's something like 15-1 or 16-1 with no draws yet this season. And, man, they have just destroyed a lot of teams. I mean, a lot of their games aren't even close. They're now 17-1 on the season is their record. Their only loss was in their season opener to Galesburg 5-3. So they've won 17 in a row. And just some, you know, results going down their schedule. They beat Rock Island 3-0, beat Mendota 7-1, beat Monmouth-Roseville 5-0. Other notable schools beat Rock Island again 7-0, beat Sterling 5-0. They won the Princeton tournament beating Dixon on penalty kicks. And then they beat Sterling again 4-0 over Macomb 7-0, beat Davenport West on Thursday 6-0. Those are some of their results. Again, they are 17-1 on the season. They have outscored opponents 95-9 on the soccer pitch this season.
Well, and then
Rick Klein, the track coach of the year. And the thing I texted him because last year I talked with him. Now,
we need to get him on
the Three Rivers Athletic Conference for girls soccer is not an official conference like it is in boys soccer because there aren't enough participating teams. I believe there's only 5. So it's not a truly recognized conference sport, but he said that doesn't stop him from making shirts that say track champions at the end of the year because they play everybody in the conference on the schedule. And then he said even sometimes when they go undefeated against the Western Big Six, they'll make Western Big Six conference championship t-shirts for the Orion Sherrard soccer co-op. So yeah, they're off to
and
a really great
Cambridge
start.
Cambridge too, right?
And Cambridge is a part of it too. That's right. I'm sorry for, yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
So, and the thing about, is girls soccer 3 classes or 2 classes?
3.
So they and they're class 2A, right?
Yes.
So they're in the middle, and are they right on kind of the edge of 1A?
I don't know. I've never even really looked.
Yeah. So what is their? They'll have to run into, you know, maybe some Metro Quad City schools and like a Sterling or I would assume Galesburg maybe 2A. They
have
to run into them again.
I think so. I haven't looked at what their subsectional is.
And that's something I'm, you know, like I said, I don't profess to be a big soccer fan, but sometimes those type of sports don't get the attention that they deserve. And if you haven't been and saw, you know, as you say, been to the pitch to see a soccer match, go see those kids play. And
absolutely.
See what a 17-1 team.
They split their games between Charger Field and Orion and Clifford King Field. at Sherrard High School. So, yeah, there's ample opportunity to go see them play. Before we get to breaking it to Kate Sharp, a couple other notes. One, really big story broke this week in the high school football world. Pat Elder is going back to 11-man football. Of course, great run 3 years at Ridgewood. Great 7-year run in the early 2000s at Sherrard. He's been a state runner-up twice at Richmond Burton in 4A in 2012 and then at Ridgewood in the 8-man football game in 2024, that was, or 2023, excuse me. They were the state runner-up. Head coach of Bureau Valley, that was officially announced on Wednesday by or from the Bureau Valley School Board of Education meeting in that district. So what about that? Pat Elder going to Bureau Valley. So, congratulations to him.
Happy for him, and I think that's a good fit for him. And I talk about some of the most gut-wrenching losses that we broadcast, and he's one, I'd say, at least top five when the year he had Matt Warner and that group, Brandon Ullman, and they were stacked, and they got beat by a very good Alwood Rova team on a Saturday night over in Oneida. And it was just one of those games where Alwood Rova scored as time as it went 0-0 on the clock, but that was a loaded team, and, you know, just some of those things happen. And Pat did just a great job at Sherrard, and I argue to this day, you know, that was back in an era where, for whatever reason, in the culture of that time, they said head coaches can't be administrators. And I think if they would have let Pat Elder, you know, be the AD at Sherrard, for whatever reason, they just didn't let, you know, coaches do that back in the day, he'd still be at Sherrard, I think, to this day. But did such a great job at Richmond Burton. And I tell you, I went to an event this past season. He had me come over to one of their, like, team meal things. And I could tell he was so beloved at Ridgewood. I'm bummed he's kind of leaving there because I thought that was a good fit. And the community loved him. And he really, you know, built that co-op.
He poured his heart and soul into Ridgewood Spartan
100%.
Football.
100%. And you could just tell. And it's great to – and I think, like you said, Bureau Valley will be – a good fit for him. I'm excited for Pat. And then, you know, the thing about, you know, we talk about going from 11-man to 8-man, but then going from 8-man back to 11-man, and they were telling me about how Ridgewood played junior high football. They were an 8-man team, but then when they would play 11-man teams, they would play 11-man defensive football against the opposition. But then when they had the ball offensively, it'd be 8-man against 8-man. So that was pretty interesting. But he built a nice culture there in 3 years at Ridgewood. And he's a huge promoter of 8-man football. And that's what I love about Pat. And his dad, John Elder, is a big promoter of 8-man football as well.
Yep, Coach Elder is a great guy. And I'm really happy for him getting that opportunity at Bureau Valley to step back to coaching 11-man football. I think I saw their superintendent in an article. Kevin Hieronymus broke that story at the Bureau County Republican. And it was a great quote from, I believe it was Bureau Valley superintendent in the story. He called it a home run hire. And that's 100% true, right?
Yeah, 100%. Good. And I love, have you been to the football venue at Bureau Valley?
Awesome,
man. Great place.
There a couple of years ago for a heartbreaking Sherrard Tiger loss. They led the whole game and gave up a late touchdown to the Storm.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like I said, great to hear that hire. And it'll be interesting to see who comes in and takes over with the Ridgewood 8-man program.
And then one other thing before we get to Kate Sharp, want to congratulate Sherrard boys basketball coach Alex Johnson. Obviously a great year for them, and he was very deservedly so honored by the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association this week. He is awarded the District Coach of the Year Award for District 11 in Class 2A, 30-4 regional champions, conference champions, Sweet 16 appearance. Really fun season for the Tigers, and Coach Johnson deserved that 100%.
Yeah, and it was nice to see the reaction on the social media post this week with, you know, the buy-in from the community on that type of stuff. I thought it was awesome. You know, you could tell they're still jacked up about that right. Basketball season. And then I love the reaction with Coach Elder. So personally for me, you know, I look back at my career when I started, impact people have on your life early in your career. And Coach Elder was such a super nice guy to me when I first started here, and just great to work with. And I'm really thankful for that relationship, and that's why, you know, go Bureau Valley Storm. I'll be rooting for them in the Lincoln Trail Conference. And the other thing I like about Pat is he's always supportive of the culture of the school he's at, where he goes to all the events and is engaged in that. And
I saw him both days at the state softball tournament last year in Ridgewood, won the state title in that great softball run. And I know, like, Coach Johnson, we just love him. And for you, like you always say, covered him as a high school kid. And now he's the Sherrard High School principal, IBCA coach of the year. And it just feels like he's just been the king of the world this past year. And I'm expecting either, one, they're going to build a statue of him outside of Sherrard High School, or two, he's going to be the person that replaces Dick Durbin in the U.S. Senate for Illinois.
He was just elected to another term to the Matherville Village Board. Oh, yeah. Got that to worry about it.
Matherville, I forgot about that, yeah.
His next big thing is worrying about controlling traffic at Lake Matherville during the fireworks show.
I know. I told him, and this was off the beaten path a little bit, but I saw him a little bit after the Matherville fireworks, and I said, hey, I went to the Matherville fireworks for the first time ever. And he's like, big day in town. That's what he said.
You're going to come back?
I'll be back in July.
Yeah, and you highlighted the fact that they're doing the Summer Parks program again, which is
last week,
great to see that. And I saw Coach CDM sent out the notice on the Mercer County All Call or whatever on their email system. They've set their dates for the basketball camp. So it's nice
attend those basketball camps.
Yeah, yep. So, yeah, hard to believe we're going to be talking about the off-season stuff as we flip the calendar to May, and we're winding down the sports season, especially we're a couple weeks away from, you know, the track sections and all that.
Final sports line of April. All right, you want to hear from Cade Sharp?
Oh, yeah, I think people will love hearing from Cade Sharp and the connection him and his family have to this town with youth baseball. And Cade was a multi-sport athlete. The one thing, you know, we didn't get into it, and I think and I'd like to talk about it a little more sometime. You know, being a collegiate athlete, even at the Division III level, you know, because people think D1, but it's a commitment to be an athlete collegiately. And we sometimes need to talk about that a little more, because Cade, a key contributor to the Monmouth College baseball program, and being a top student as well, that's not easy. So we can talk about that maybe down the road. But this is a fun interview coming up with Cade Sharp. I know the people of the community will love hearing it. And he speaks fondly of his dad and his mom, who's a teacher. And then, of course, Tom. We know Tom with the impact he's had. There needs to be more Tom Sharps in youth sports.
100%.
That's all I'm going to say. And I wish he would start coaching a youth team again, because I think youth sports needs people like him.
I can agree with that. I also can disagree, because I don't want Tom Sharp to have to put up with the headache. He's too good of a guy to have to put up with the headache of being a youth sports coach with all the crazy youth sports parents nowadays.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a fun conversation coming up. Cade Sharp from Amboy, Illinois, Lee County is standing by. This is the WMJ Sports Line from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in downtown Toledo.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy, I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Jim Taylor on WRMJ, WRMJ.com with Ty Taylor. Always like to celebrate our local grads that have gone on to bigger and better things. And we get a chance to visit with 2020 Mercer County High School graduate Cade Sharp. I can't believe it. He's already a teacher and a coach up in Lee County, Amboy High School, home of the Clippers. All right, Cade Sharp, should we begin this way? Did you learn anything from playing youth baseball for the legendary Tom Sharp? That's how we can begin our conversation, I guess, today.
That's a great place to start, I think. Yeah, my dad taught me everything I know. He's taught me the game. He really made me love baseball and fall in love with it, and I'm forever grateful for him. And even to this day, he's still teaching me different things and giving me his advice, even when I don't want it. But you know how Tom is. He's always giving me advice. So,
well, I recollect, you know, what baseball has meant to you and the Sharp family growing up with your brother Connor playing in town. And as you mentioned, your dad, a longtime youth baseball coach, and I think, you know, played a significant role in the development of Northside Park and manicuring that diamond. Can you kind of speak, I mean, growing up, playing baseball in Aledo, in those memories and kind of what that meant to you?
Yeah, those are the best memories I have of the game. And that's where a lot of us learned it. And especially with a program like the Aledo Knights and having my dad around, he taught me everything. Ever since, my earliest memories are holding the bat in the front yard, playing wiffle ball with Connor or with a group of guys at the park down the street from us. Those are like my earliest memories. And then going out to Northside ever since a kid, working on the field with my dad, or even starting playing on the playing D league ball for town ball at the small diamond there in Northside. It's just, those are my earliest memories, and some of my most fondest memories of baseball come from Northside Park.
What is it like being a young coach? So a 2020 grad, and now you're a varsity baseball coach in 2025, what has that adjustment been like?
It's been a little bit of a tough adjustment coming from the playing side for so long. But I've told this to a lot of people up here that ask me the same question. It's way more fun than I could have even imagined it being. It's every day is a new learning experience. And it's just being on this side of it after playing for so long, it's been such a good change of pace. And it's so much fun. I have a great group of guys that I'm around every single day, and a really, really, really great coaching staff that I have enjoyed a lot being around. And they just made the transition as smooth as it could be. Obviously, there's ups and downs that come with it, but there's been so many ups and so many positive moments and memories made already in my short stint so far.
Yeah, Cade, you know, my first question for you is not going to be what your 2K build is, but what I do want to ask you about is, you know, you talked about their transitioning from, you know, basically going straight out of college to taking over a varsity program. I mean, for you, when you were offered to be a varsity baseball coach, first year teaching, first year out of college, you know, moving to a new place, was there any hesitation in taking that on? And I guess what eventually got you to say, yeah, this is something I want to try, even though it's, you know, my first year basically in the workforce, right?
Yeah, so I was originally offered, the first job I was offered was obviously the teaching one, and then the fresh off basketball coach one was offered to me as well, and I took that, and then all in the same day, maybe 30 minutes later, I was offered the varsity baseball position. And right away, as it was offered to me, I was a little hesitant to take it at first because at this time it was the summer, I was still living in Aledo, I was commuting 2 hours up here to for basketball stuff, and hadn't really gotten adjusted to the community yet. I hadn't met anybody other than the a few basketball players and the basketball coach. So I was a little hesitant to take it at first. And then as I moved up here, we started the school year, and we've kind of talked some more about it. And I realized that I was ready to take the varsity role. And I told the athletic director, George Schwamberger, who's been incredible working with me. I said, hey, if that job is still available as the varsity head coach, I'd love to do it and love to take over. And he said it was all mine. And since then, it's just been planning and getting ready, and it's been smooth sailing so far.
Well, we talked earlier about the impact that, you know, your dad and playing for the Elite Knights had on you growing up in baseball. Played, of course, high school-wise at Mercer County, played collegially at Monmouth College. So getting into coaching, is that something that you think you always wanted to do? And maybe where do you point to along your time growing up where you figure out, hey, this is something that I want to do and I'm done playing baseball, I would like to get into coaching it. Where does that come from, you think?
I think it comes from kind of having my dad as a coach growing up. I always knew that that's what I wanted to do, and I wanted to, and he did such a great job, and I'm forever grateful for that. He's taught me everything with playing baseball, coaching baseball, and he's still the guy I go to today. Almost, and I'm sure he gets tired of it some days, but every day after practice, I give him a call, talk to him about something every game. I know he's watching it, so I call him, and I get advice from him, and he's kind of, I think my want to coach has come from him and growing up with him. But I've also had incredible coaches and, along the way. Nick Basala, when I was in, he was my first high school coach. He was incredible. I still talk to him to this day. Jake Harrison also was another big one for me. And then at Monmouth, Alan Baterney and Neil McConney, who was a former coach at Rockridge. He was my pitching coach at Monmouth. All those guys have played a role in my decision to becoming a coach one day. But I would say that the biggest one was definitely my dad.
All right, so I know you mentioned earlier how you also accepted the JV boys basketball job, coach basketball at Amboy over the winter season here. What kind of a role do you think that played? And I guess how big of a help was it, you think, getting your feet wet coaching at the high school level, albeit, you know, the JV team in boys basketball, obviously different level, different sport than baseball at the varsity level. But do you think that was helping getting you ready to kind of take this on?
Yeah, for sure. The biggest thing for me was getting my name out in the community and kind of meeting some different families, different players. And that was a great time for me to kind of get used to how the speed of high school sports with coaching side of it. And that was another big thing I was worried about, was kind of catching up with everything. And JV basketball being, like you said, it was just, although it was just the JV level, being around just the varsity side of it and being around the coaching aspect of it really, really helped me for the varsity baseball job. So I'm very thankful for that. And also having a guy like Tyson Powers, who is he's the fresh off baseball coach, but he was the varsity basketball coach. He kind of showed me the ropes of being a coach, and he's been a huge help with this as well.
All right. So something else I wanted to bring up before we get back to my dad here. Now, March 29th, you played a game against Mercer County. Amboy beat the Golden Eagles that day 6-5. So a couple months ago, or I should say about a month ago now, I mean, what was that like coaching against Mercer County and getting to, you know, coach against the coach you played for in high school and beat the alma mater too? Was probably a pretty cool day, I assume.
It was awesome. That was a dream come true. I mean, I had Connor was there because he's the fresh off coach at Mercer County. And then obviously my mom and dad were there. It was a great crowd of families that I knew. Mercer County traveled really, really well up here to Amboy. And I mean, that was just a great experience coaching against Coach Jake, him seeing everything that I'm doing as a coach now. It was just truly a great experience. And then obviously to beat them was a cherry on top.
All right. So I know one of the things that I always, your perspective would be interesting to me, because a recent grad, 2020 high school grad, coaching in 2025, I see school enrollment at Amboy, I think officially just a bit above 200. So we're talking numbers and getting kids out. And I know we always hear, we want these kids to be, you know, multi-sport athletes. How do we do that? How do we all get along? How have you walked that line, or what are some of the challenges, or how are you having success with trying to get kids to play multiple sports? Now, I think you have a little bit of an advantage being a two-sport coach with basketball and, you know, baseball. Do you feel pretty good about where you're at Amboy? And is that a big challenge? You know, you know, playing at Mercer County, trying to get kids to play multiple sports. And we hear this argument about it all the time at small schools. I guess, how are you dealing, or how are you handling that at Amboy?
It's actually, I've been blessed with having a bunch of students who are, I don't know if I have a single student who's a, or a single player who's a one sport athlete. And that's what I'm super happy about up here, is that all the students are bought into athletics. And then even outside of the students, the staff and the administration, the administrators and the families are all bought into sports, and they want their kids to get into sports, which has been an incredible thing for this community. I would also like, I think that some of the students or the players come from the success that we've had in the past. So obviously the biggest one being football, back-to-back state championships in eight-man football. I think that's played a big role. Students want to get involved in the athletics, and it hasn't really been a problem here at all. And then, like you said, I'm kind of at an advantage. I'm a two-sport coach, so students kind of get to meet me as players, and as they see me as a coach, so then they want to kind of play for me a little bit more. And it's been awesome. There hasn't been any kind of challenge with that, and it's been very, very smooth.
I think the other thing that I've noticed about the NUIC conference is the attention that league gets in everything. Now, it used to be kind of primarily devoted to football, but I just can't believe, like, the social media coverage of these itty-bitty, small, tiny schools in the NUIC, and there's so much attention on every sport. That's pretty cool, I think, to get that type of coverage and have that type of interest. Is it really like that you get that much coverage and there's that much interest in this stuff up there in all sports?
Yeah, and it, like you said, there's all kinds of coverage up here. And I look at Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, and I see just random posts from different people from different news sources talking about the NUIC, and it is really awesome. And then outside of, like, the media coverage, families and parents and community members are very, very bought into the athletics around here. And I mean, I can't even go to the gas station without having questions about how the baseball team's doing, how basketball was doing during basketball season. It truly is awesome, because the word spreads, and that causes the community to buy in, and the buy-in that we've had here at Amboy has been incredible.
Yeah, so not even through your first full school year teaching and coaching there, like you said, though, some of those stories, it feels like you've done a pretty good job of getting acclimated to the community and the school district at Amboy. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I feel super welcome. That's the great thing about Amboy is it's similar to Aledo. It's a little bit smaller, obviously, population-wise and school size-wise. But it felt like home, and that's kind of what drew me here. When I visited, I was welcomed in like a member of the Amboy family. And ever since then, I've just continued to grow relationships with community members, staff members, my colleagues here. And it's been super, super welcoming. There hasn't been any kind of problems on that side of things, which I'm very grateful for. It's made my first job and first move very, very smooth. So very thankful for that.
I was curious, you know, being a kid of, you know, youth baseball back in the day and you know, playing so many games as a youth and doing it the right way, played for your dad. And maybe this would be a better question for your dad, but I wanted to ask you this question. So when you go out to the diamond and you watch, you know, maybe youth baseball, what kind of drives you nuts? Are there certain things that kind of drive you bananas when you see something going on at a youth baseball diamond?
There are a few things, and I know this comes from my dad, but it's the pitching side of things really drives me nuts. And some of the things that I'll see, like young kids learning pitching wise, have been just drives me nuts a little bit. But up here in Amboy, there's a thing called the Koufax League, where it's kind of like a town ball league, and one of the head coaches has been working and talking with me a lot about what I want to see done out there with those younger kids and those younger players. So that's actually been awesome. I've been able to kind of work with those students and work with those younger middle-aged kids as they're learning the game of baseball. So I've kind of limited those problems that I see, you know. But definitely the pitching side of things, and my dad will appreciate this one, but the launch angle. There's a time and place for launch angle talk when you're hitting. There's also time to just hit line drives and get base hits, you know. So there's a fine line between those two.
That sounds like Tom Taylor talking to us right now about the launch angle. But speaking more about, you know, youth sports, I think there's such a delicate balance, like you were speaking of there, about doing it the right way versus doing it the wrong way, where you run into issues, I think, no matter what the sport really, where sometimes you'll have, you know, there's easy ways in whatever sport. If you're coaching, you know, fourth, fifth grade kids, you can kind of cheat the system and win if you want without really developing, you know, skills in the game or talent or whatever. And then there's also the issue too of, I think, maybe playing too much where you burn kids out and make the sport not maybe as fun as it should be. So for you, I mean, looking at like the youth sport landscape, how do you think we are in terms of like the baseball side of things? What are important things that maybe youth baseball and youth travel groups should try to make sure they accomplish to make sure kids are still kind of enjoying the game and also growing themselves as players too?
Well, you said it in that it's not all about winning. It's about development, and it's about making sure these kids enjoy the game. And as soon as you kind of push them too far to the point to where they lose love for the game, you're doing it wrong. It's got to be, especially youth sports, it's about growing them as players, as people, and it's not always all about winning. There's a time and place for winning, but a lot of the times it's growing the love of the game and growing their abilities as players. And that comes from a lot of different things, but one of the biggest ones is playing too much. I mean, you hear about some of these travel ball teams that are playing every single weekend and then two games on, for a league schedule during the week. That's a lot of ball in the summer, especially coming off the spring season. So that's sometimes where I feel like love can get lost for the game. But up here, they do a really good job of limiting what you're doing, especially with the COFAX League. Having something like that, it's done a good job of keeping players and youth sports involved and loving the game.
All right, and again, we're speaking with Cade Sharp, a 2020 Mercer County High School grad and the current varsity baseball coach at Amboy High School. And Cade's been on for a while. Before we wrap up with him, though, I've got a question that I want to ask you. We've talked a lot about Tom Sharp. Now, here's my favorite Tom Sharp youth baseball story, and then I'm going to ask you for yours, okay, yep. Cade? Mine is, I remember we were probably, I'm the same age as Cade's older brother, Connor, and we played on the Alito Knights together. And I remember one day we had a batting practice one night, and it was absolutely frigid cold. I mean, it was maybe 35 degrees, and we were out at Northside taking BP, and Connor, it was his turn. He comes up to the plate, and Tom's pitching to him, and it's probably, you know, I think the first five swings Connor took were foul balls, right, in batting practice. And with each time that Connor fouled the ball off, like, your dad was getting more and more frustrated with him. And he finally says, all right, he says, if you foul one more pitch off, you are going to be running. And next pitch, sure enough, Connor takes a big swing and just fouls it straight back off the backstop. And and Connor just puts his head down, puts his bat down, and your dad goes, get running. So that is something I still laugh about to this day. And when I see Connor, we'll talk about that story. So what about you, Kate Sharp? Do you have a favorite Tom Sharp youth baseball story?
I mean, there's all kinds, and they all kind of come from your team's age bracket, you and Connor's age bracket. But I think my favorite memories were just being around you guys, especially, well, I think it might have been a state tournament or something. We were playing in Joliet,
yeah.
And I finally convinced my dad to let me play with your group, and he trotted me out to second. And I think around the horn, I think it was Brad Garrett, Connor Sharp, me, and Ty Taylor.
Yeah.
In the infield.
And Ashton Klingeman was the catcher.
And Brandon Skrovansky might have been pitching. Cade Quick might have been pitching. Who knows?
Who was I remember who was pitching. He couldn't find the zone.
But it was. I mean, those are some of the best memories. Like, I think about it all. I mean, think about it all the time, especially with when we're talking about youth sports. But, like, that's where my love from the game comes, and that's my fondest memories are there, you know, playing with you guys, having fun, and my dad coaching. That was a blast.
And I remember one thing Cade said to me, and this is maybe how we can close it. So Cade, when I texted him to set this up, he said, all right, my goal was to be interviewed in my life by three people. He wanted Jim Taylor, Terry Duckett, and Jackson White. And you're the third and final hat piece of the hat trick for him. So Cade was really excited to complete that, and now he can live the rest of his life worry-free, right?
I can. I'm very happy. And I can't tell you how pumped I was when I received that text message. I was smiling. I'm like, yes, let's go. I can finally cross off that last one. So,
well, and I think that's the one great thing about, you know, the coverage in this area, and the people, they take ownership in kids that grow up in this area. And I mean it sincerely. I know so many people in the area enjoy listening to kids who played here and are coaching somewhere else. And I think many people would say, yeah, I remember when he played, that kid gonna coach and teach somewhere. And of course, it's true. So, you know, just inside baseball quickly before we leave, you know, there's an ebb and flow to high school baseball season. And, you know, if you don't have, you know, top heavy pitching, there's going to be some challenges and there's going to be some stretches of games. But then by the same token, if weather is your friend in the postseason and you have a couple of kids that can pitch, lo and behold, you get on a run and maybe you're playing for a regional championship or get to the sectional or whatever. Your season, tell us a little bit about it. I think we're trying to give you some good mojo because you've lost seven in a row or something like that. What has the first season been like for Kate Sharp, and how have you dealt with all of it, I guess?
It's been really good. I mean, we've had a lot of ups and we've had just as many downs, but we're really starting to put it together and we're playing better baseball right now. I think we started 6-1 on the year. And then we, like you said, we went on a 7-game skid where just nothing's really kind of gone right for us. But we're playing better baseball and I think we're right around the corner. We're going to turn it around. Here at Amboy, I've got a great group of guys. Like you said, pitching's kind of hard to come by sometimes in small town baseball, especially. I've got three really solid top of the rotation guys for me here that all throw conference games. That's wonderful to have. I mean, having guys like that, I have two real good starters and another guy I can bring out of the bullpen. And then I have a bunch of younger guys that throw as well and throw the ball well. Being able to utilize the good group of seniors and younger guys that I have has been super, super awesome. They control the game very well. And then I've got a really great group of senior players that are just great leaders. I can't thank them enough for how they've treated me and showed me kind of the ropes of what's going on and welcomed me in. They're just as much of a help as anybody. And I got to give credit to them. And they play well, and we're starting to figure it out. And I think once we put everything all together at once, we're going to be a pretty solid team down the stretch.
I wanted to say one more thing, though, because we referenced your dad as one of the reasons you wanted to be a coach. But I do want to reference your mother. I'm assuming you want to be a classroom teacher because she was a classroom teacher.
Is that right? Yeah. She's always been there. And she's honestly, as a coach, she was there just as much. She taught me a bunch of things that I know, and out in the yard swinging or throwing the endless wiffle balls, you know, for wiffle ball batting practice. But yeah, she's played a huge role in deciding what I want to do with my life as a career path. As a teacher, she's always been there. She's always been a teacher. She's a teacher as long as I can remember. But she just, the passion she put into it and the loves that she has for what she does has really kind of made me decide that, yep, teaching's what I want to do and I want to be just like her. So,
well, we really appreciate the time with Cade Sharp. And Cade, you'll like this, at a softball game, I think either earlier this week or last week maybe, I was talking to Cade Sharp's future mother-in-law, Kay Huckey, who's an assistant for the Golden Eagles, and we were talking Amboy Clippers baseball for about 5 minutes.
That's awesome. I love to hear Amboy baseball has traveled to Mercer County, you know.
Oh, man. All right, Cade. Really appreciate the time, man. This was an enjoyable talk. Cade Sharp, 2020 Mercer County grad, current varsity baseball coach of the Amboy Clippers in the NUIC. Anything else you want to say, Dad, before we let Cade get on with his day?
Good luck, Cade. Always great visiting with you. And I know there's not only Ty and myself rooting for you, but there are a lot of people in this community, in this school district, that are rooting for Cade Sharp. So keep it up, man.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Go Clippers.
Go Clippers, that's right.
And you're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy, I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo, and we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Always looking for interesting topics. I know Jim always comes up with some great ideas. And Jim, you opened up a whole new world for me with this high school mascot NCAA tournament style bracket with a 2025 national champion. And I was reading through some of the nicknames, the mascots for some of these schools, and I was just shaking my head, a little bit of laughter, a little bit of like, wow, that's awesome. Really neat. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and you know, we think about some of the great mascot names in Illinois, but then you factor in the entire, you know, United States of America. There are some impressive mascots and some very unique ones. And this is through Sports Illustrated in their digital platform. They call it High School on SI, and you can go to si.com and find it. The headline, March Madness for High School Mascots, NCAA Tournament-Style Bracket will determine 2025 national champion. Now, they started this back in early March, and they're down to the Final Four. And the Final Four are Monroe High School Cheesemakers. They're out of Wisconsin. And this is online voting determines the winner against the Morris Shipbuilders out of Maine. And then the two other teams in the Final Four, Bryn Mawr Martians. Now, Martians is spelled M-A-W-R-T-I-A-N-S because Bryn Mawr is spelled M-A-W-R. And actually, there's another school with the traditional name of the Martians located in Michigan that made the list. But this Bryn Mawr Martians in the Final Four, they're taking on a school from Iowa, Center Point Urbana. They're nicknamed the Stormin' Pointers. And they have the list of all 68 teams that made the bracket here in this tournament. And I was looking through some of the schools, and this is awesome. But I'm kind of surprised only one school from Illinois made the field of 68, and that was the Apple Knockers from Cobden in deep southern Illinois. But I'm just going to highlight a couple of the ones I like. So there's a school from Maryland, Key High School, and their nickname is the Obzags, and it basically is gazebo spelled backward. Apparently, where the school was
built at. There were a bunch of gazebos, and that's how they came up with the name. Sea Turtles from International High School at Largo. That's in Maryland. How about the Winged Beavers from Avon Old Farms in Connecticut? These are some of my favorites, and I'm scanning through the list. No kidding, right? Salem in Massachusetts.
I love that one.
They're the witches.
The witches.
Yeah. And then let's see, Sun Valley Community. This is in Idaho. They're nicknamed the Cutthroat. The scrappy, aggressive cutthroat is the Idaho state fish. How about North Carolina? The Lejeune Devil Pups. This is an ode to the 1944 heroes of World War II, known as the Marine Corps nickname of the Devil Dog at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. The Hippos of Hutto, Texas. And then I like this one in Georgia. This is the Cairo, this is Georgia, not Illinois, Cairo syrup makers. During a heavy rainstorm at a football game many years ago, workers at the Cairo syrup shelter brought over their raincoats labeled Roddenberry's syrup on the backs of the jackets to keep the players dry. Reflecting this heritage, the Cairo football team was named the syrup makers, and it stuck for all sports. And then New Mexico, Carlsbad, their nickname is the Cavemen. I love it. So again, you can find this at SI.com. Again, it's through their high school on SI digital platform. So I mentioned about 10 of these names, but Brian, you got to look at all 68. Pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to mention one. We're a family show, and I'm not sure that we should mention this one, but let's just go ahead, because I was thinking maybe this was fiction, but the Colorado Rocky Mountain School Oysters.
Yeah. So if you go to the story, I want to tell the people, so all 68 schools that are highlighted here, they give the backstory on how the nickname came about or the mascot came about. So that's the cool part of this piece that they're doing. Again, this competition started in early March, and they're down to the final four. Do you have a favorite, or do you want any specific of the final four? Who are you for? The cheesemakers, the shipbuilders,
yes,
the Storm and Pointers, or the Martians?
I'm going for the cheesemakers because of their, you know, short distance from here in Monroe. It's said in that story they play the Freeport Pretzels every year in the snack bowl, which is kind of a cool, you know, name for a basketball game. So
I'm going to go with the
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going to go for the Storm and Pointers out of I want to hear Iowa Public Television say this center pointer band of Storm and Pointers on Iowa PBS. All right, what else you got?
I was going to say, did you mention the Yuma Criminals?
No, I did not. See, yeah, I don't have time to mention all 68 when you scan through. So again, our listening audience, if you go to it's the third year they've done it, and for some reason came across my social media platform, and I saw it this week because I was looking for a topic to talk about. Again, it's high school on SI, the Sports Illustrated digital platform. You can find it at SI.com. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Toledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. We have to wrap this thing up because pictures for Tess Taylor and Zach Anderson's wedding coming up.
Yeah, and Tess being Bridezilla, she's blowing up my phone because I'm supposed to be there. But the pictures aren't till like 2, and I told her, I'm like, look.
We got sports line to do, lady.
One, we have sports line to do. Two, I mean, it'll take me 10 minutes tops to get into that friggin' tux. I'm not doing my hair. I'm not doing anything. I probably got sunburnt this week at that game on Thursday. So, look, it's your day. I'll be there for the pictures, but I don't need to be there until a few minutes before.
So one of my...
I'm making it about me.
Yeah. So one of my... Just quickly, one of my favorite sports stories about Tess... Well, it was this kind of a sad moment, but when you look back, I chuckle a little bit when Tess tore her ACL in a basketball game against Monmouth Roseville right before Christmas at Mercer County, taking on the Titans of Monmouth Roseville, like I mentioned. And she was carried off the floor by none other than former Mercer County head football coach and athletic director, go Eagles, Nat's uncle, and other sports line.
I was in the Mercer County pep band that night screaming and yelling.
Yeah, but I guess,
tell her to get up.
You can play. Did you want to talk about recreational softball? Because you guys won like a title in Keysburg last year.
We've won two titles in a row. We've won the Mercer County Adult Slow Pitch Softball League twice in a row. And what I'm trying to do as I broadcast these games is I've been trying to scout some new players for us on the Viola Tropics. I've been looking at Nadia Anderson as hopefully making taking over playing shortstop for us as some of us are starting to get older. I'm waiting for Peyton Brown and Kendra Lewis to close their collegiate careers. Hopefully they get jobs and live close to home and maybe they could play for us too. So, but I'm telling you what, Nadia Anderson, I want her to be a Viola Tropic at some point after her playing days are over, which probably are 4 years away with how good a player she is. But if she's not doing anything this summer, you got a spot on the roster, moo, right?
Yeah. All right. And if people always talk about, you know, what is public education or what does Mercer County School District mean to you? Give me an example of that. And I'll say two words. His name is Cade Sharp, and it's a great example to see him teaching at Amboy and coaching at Amboy and being a local kid who grew up in this town, in this school district. And you heard the interview, great representation. We could have talked with Cade for another 25 minutes about old youth baseball stories. Yeah. But and everybody knows in this town, and the teachers in this community and the coaches in this community know that's be like that kid. So,
anyway. Amen.
All right.
Well, I guess we got to get to East Moline before we get killed by Tess.
Well, we got, another good dude here at this radio station doing remotes today, the great Kyle McEwen. Who's the ultimate utility player for WRMJ over the years.
He's Jose Vizcaino.
We need to shovel the sidewalk. Well, hey, who's going to do that? Call Kyle McEwen.
Yeah, because John Hoshite's not here to do that anymore. Hey, we're going to see him today, too, by the way. Okay, right. Well, we probably need to wrap
all
it
right
up and get to Huffman's.
All right. Again, Dale Jones, Auctioneer Studio, great sponsor. And we've had great conversation today. Got a lot of great things going on this spring. Some great storylines evolving. We start really getting serious here as the calendar flips to May. But I think there's going to be some exciting things with our local student athletes. So for Ty Taylor, I'm Jim Taylor. This is the WMJ Sports Line from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.